Future generations will long recall the courage of law enforcement officers in the shootout and manhunt on the streets of Watertown. It was 2 years ago Sunday that police in the usually quiet Boston suburb killed Boston Marathon bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev and tracked down his brother, Jahar. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has been investigating what happened there and has been laying out an audio timeline for us. Yesterday, Bruce reported on the dramatic shootout and is back with us this morning to pick up with the search for Jahar Tsarnaev. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Bob.
So, Bruce, we left off yesterday's story with Jahar Tsarnaev driving over his brother in the SUV he hijacked. Then as he's speeding away, MBTA officer Dick Donahue is hit in the crossfire.
That's right. And Donahue is saved by the heroic efforts of many first responders.
You reported the shootout lasted only about 4 minutes, but then it took hours to find Jahar Tsarnaev hiding in a boat.
Yeah, a lot of hours. The shootout is over just before 1 a.m, and it's nearly 7 p.m. when Tsarnaev is finally spotted.
Why'd it take so long? He didn't go very far.
No, he doesn't go very far at all. I do think a big part of it is the chaos and confusion. Remember, the police scanner calls out, "Shots fired, officer down." And police from all over the place start pouring into Watertown. But many don't know the place or what to do once they get there. And then exactly when Donahue is hit and Tsarnaev is taken off, this happens 4 blocks away.
Adams Street, Watertown, we have it.
What's happening is a policeman starts firing at an unmarked black state pickup truck. There's an earlier erroneous report that one's been hijacked. No one is hurt, but then there's this on the radio.
Adams Street, Black Pickup, down the road.
What's he say there at the end, Bruce? I can't make out that last part.
I can't either. And I couldn't find out anything more about the explosives. But then there's this, Bob. Boston police officials believe an explosion in Watertown that night may have contributed to the death a year later of Boston police officer Dennis Simmons.
Not until a year later, Bruce?
Yeah. Simmons is hurt in Watertown, but an incident report shows he's only slightly injured. Now, he does complain of blurred vision and given a month's leave. He receives the department's highest award for bravery, but last April, he suddenly dies at the police gym. He's just 28 years old, and Vice President Joe Biden makes the connection.
Dennis Simmons, who put his life on the line last year in a shootout, he suffered a severe head injury, and ultimately he has succumbed.
Bob, I haven't learned anything more about Officer Simmons, but that's the context of the confusion that night and how Tsarnaev was able to escape.
But at the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev, a Watertown officer testified that he did chase after Tsarnaev.
That's right. Officer Miguel Colon says less than a minute after the shootout, he jumps into a cruiser and is in hot pursuit. And there's another officer who starts running after Tsarnaev.
I'm making my way to Spruce. I think I'm close. I'm going there on foot.
Now, Laurel Street turns into Spruce Street, where it climbs and curves for half a mile. And even though the SUV has 2 blown-out tires, Tsarnaev is gunning it.
It seemed like it was like pedal to the metal, accelerating.
Max Kerman lives on Spruce Street and witnessed the chase.
At that point, I saw a black Mercedes. Windows had been shot out. The front headlights had been shot out. Flying by 30 seconds later, 20 seconds later, I saw, you know, cops came flying up the street. I mean, they were pretty close on his tail, but, you know, it's dark at night here. They're not sure, you know, what they're getting into. You know, I assume he just jumped the car and, you know, ran down the street and ended up down there.
Not that far, no.
Tsarnaev drove a little further to the top of the hill, suddenly stops and jumps out of the SUV.
We are on the corner of Spruce Street and Lincoln Street in Watertown.
Jack Condon lived across the street from where Tsarnaev abandoned the SUV. One of his neighbors told me if you dropped the golf ball from here, it would roll downhill and wind up not far from where Tsarnaev was eventually found.
Driver's side door was open and it was bullet ridden. I thought it was a little intriguing that, you know, they didn't plan on him going down that way, the direction down Lincoln Street, which he did. I figured the way the door was open, he would run down the hill in the dark. Because in reality, he was probably only found, 15 houses from here, maybe?
Neither the trial testimony nor the after-action report mention it, but I discovered in a request for public records that Watertown police not only chased Tsarnaev in the SUV, but an officer blocked his escape. Watertown patrolman John St. Ange was at home when he overheard the shootout on the radio and raced to the scene in his personal car. In the documents I obtained, award nominations for bravery, Watertown Chief of Police Edward DeVoe writes, quote, St. Ange's vehicle approached the fleeing Mercedes head-on. The road was too narrow for the Mercedes to go around Officer St. Ange's vehicle, so Jahar exited the Mercedes and ran on foot through residential yards. Did St. Ange chase Tsarnaev, shoot him, radio his position? Chief DeVoe doesn't say. But a police scanner transmission at around this time hints at an answer.
Spruce and Lincoln, Spruce and Lincoln. Officer was pinned down. They fled the vehicle into the backyard.
Was St. Ange the officer who was pinned down? We just don't know. The details of what happened when St. Ange encountered Tsarnaev and saw him run away remain a mystery.
Copy. Spruce and Lincoln.
Police canine teams arrive, but the dogs lose Tsarnaev's scent. It's another mystery because we know his blood was found in the SUV in places near where he was later caught. Helicopters, SWAT teams, and bomb squads show up. Before the day is out, 2,500 law enforcement officers from 116 state, local, and federal agencies will report to the staging area at the Arsenal Mall. It's the first major field test of the interagency task forces created after 9/11. Beyond the scene, FBI commander decides to wait until dawn to begin a house-to-house search. But within minutes after the SUV is found, a perimeter is set up around the vehicle.
All police officers coming in, a three-block radius from 98 Spruce, start working on that with interagencies, okay? We have plenty of help up here.
But in the confusion, a 20-block perimeter is also established. Not centered on the abandoned SUV, but half a mile away, back at the scene of the shootout. 7 a.m. Watertown, neighboring suburbs in Boston are shut down, residents told to shelter in place. That morning, Dmitry Chusik watches from his home as police look in his backyard.
They search Friday all street, looking in the driveways, looking, you know, but not in a house, only outdoors.
Chusik lives at 71 Franklin Street, two houses away from a dry dock boat in a neighbor's driveway. 6:25 p.m. The shelter-in-place order is lifted. 17 minutes later, David Henneberry goes out for a smoke, checks his boat, and sees blood in a body curled up inside. He calls 911. 12 minutes later, the boat is surrounded by tactical officers and SWAT teams. 6:54 p.m. An officer shoots into the boat. Then another officer shoots. And another. A senior official on the scene orders a ceasefire. The state action report calls it a lack of weapons discipline. Jurors in the Tsarnaev trial would see the boat entered as evidence. It had at least 108 bullet holes. Dmitry Chusik's home is hit 27 times. 8:41 p.m. Tsarnaev is taken off the boat and arrested. 300 yards from where he abandoned the SUV. Residents cheer as he's taken away in an ambulance. 9:32 p.m., Watertown Police Chief Edward DeVoe talks to reporters at a final news conference.
We know he didn't go straight to the boat. We set up the perimeter. We found blood in the car that he abandoned. We found blood behind a house inside the perimeter. It was very chaotic early this morning. Thought we got the perimeter solid, but we were about one block away. But he had to be moving a little bit after he was behind a house for a period of time that we know.
10:04 p.m., April 19th, 2013. President Obama addresses the nation. He praises local, state, and federal law enforcement for professionalism and bravery.
Obviously, tonight there are still many unanswered questions.
The president commits the federal government to finding answers.
Among them, why did young men who grew up and studied here as part of our communities and our country resort to such violence? How did they plan and carry out these attacks, and did they receive any help? The families of those killed so senselessly deserve answers. The wounded, some of whom now have to learn how to stand and walk and live again, deserve answers.
And as the jury sitting in judgment of Jahar Tsarnaev meets next week for the penalty phase of the trial, The search continues for answers to questions that still trouble many hearts and minds. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Kellerman.